This is Nightline on the VOCM Big Land Radio Network. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of this station. And now, your host, Jonathan Richler.
Good evening, everybody. It's the 28th of June, my mother's birthday. Happy birthday, mother. I love you so much. I never talk to you as often as I should. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you. I suppose father had something to do with it. And thank you for turning me into the mostly decent person who I am today. My mother had a great technique when it came to punishment. Whenever I was acting like a juice arse, sorry folks, I had to use that word. When I was a little kid or a teenager, she would look me in the eye and then turn away and say, "Go to your room, son. And when you feel like joining the rest of civilization, you can rejoin us downstairs." And you know what? It flippin' worked. Thank you, Mutter. Thanks for everything. And to my brother, Mike, happy birthday as well, sir. I know you're listening. Dat you, Bez! When I was a kid, my brother, Michael, who was here doing his medical degree at Memorial University, commutated in 1978, the same year as my father, for his PhD in epidemiology. We're rooted here, boss. We're rooted here. Mike and I used to bomb around town with my sister, Devorah, and listen to VOCM, the voice of the common man, Baz Jameson. On our way to Chess's or Napoli Pizza to take in a meal with the Fonz and his wife. That was the mom and pop that owned that joint. I think it was on Duckworth. My brother Mike's favorite expression for years in the 1970s when I was a little boy was, "Dat you, Baz!" Anyway, here I am years later. And I think Mike is 67 today. And if you go to Memorial University of Newfoundland's Health Science Center and you look at the convocating class of 1978, you will see the most handsome, swarthy, pirate-like Richler, known as Michael. All right, that's it. I'm done. Family time is over. Producer Patrick Myler and I are here to speak with you about whatever floats your boat, whoever's birthday it is today. I suppose if I uploaded Face Page, I'd find out who else's birthday it is. But honestly, I don't know about you, but that app is crashing on all my devices. Patrick, is it just me? Oh, he's on the phone talking to people. Sorry. I can't get the old Face Page on my phone. I can't get it on my tablet. It just keeps crashing and shutting down. Boys, what's on the go? Thank goodness for Instagram, right? Whew. Great preamble this morning from guest host of VOCM Open Line and guest host of Nightline on occasion, Daryl the Man Power. With respect to the fallout and the implications of the inquiry or the judgment of the inquiry, the judgment, the final assessment, the conclusion, all 550 pages of it by Justice Leo Barry. He reminded us this morning that this is a human story. There were humans involved, and one individual human ended up dead. And all of these things are important to remember. And I think, no doubt, that we will be discussing this all summer long as the implications and the repercussions are unfolding. I'm only on page 102. I don't know about you, but I intend to read this from cover to cover, and I hope that the rest of you do as well. I will be honest, I'm a little surprised that the opening of a subdivision was covered by all media outlets today, including VOCM. I don't get it. I didn't see this type of coverage for other subdivisions, but I think it's a good idea. Because it's coverage of a place where you might want to live. Whether you live here, or on the Bay, or in Labrador, or Cambridge, Ontario. We should see what other subdivisions have to offer. But if we don't, I mean, if we don't stop there, we need to consider that this is free advertising for developers as well. And frankly, the fact that there's a street or an avenue called Beaumont Hamel Way, and the fact that the mayor of St. John's was there, good for them. The mayor of St. John's, I mean, Galway, is going to contribute to the tax revenue of the city. Bring it on. Deadly. Go cut your red ribbons. Hope your scissors are sharp and let's cut some more because opening things is good things. But just like we were driving back from Broad Cove, Adams Cove, Blackhead Way through Carbonear and Bay Roberts this weekend, and we're going out that way again this weekend, over actually further to Clarenville first, then Malady Head. Love a staycation. Love seeing as many parts of this province as we can. But driving on the Highway of Heroes, it rots me. It rots me in a different way that the Team Gujo Highway does. And I'll tell you what it is. And this Galway Street or whatever it is, not Galway Street, pardon me, what's it called? Beaumont Hamel Way or Avenue. People always say that soldiers fought for our freedom. And I don't know if they've spoken to other soldiers, but I have. Some soldiers would say that, yes, they certainly picked up the gun and they went across the seas to fight the enemy, fascist, communist, whoever it might be, because they were fighting for freedom. Others went because it was a job, it was a paycheck, and they wanted to do something with their lives. They wanted to see the world, which was pretty much part of the recruitment posters for World War I and World War II, right? Not everybody went over there to fight for their great-grandchildren's freedom. They went over there because it was work and it was adventure, and they wanted to soak it all in and get a paycheck. Doesn't matter what their motivation was. I doubt that any of them dreamed of a highway being named after them, to have potholes and pavement and guardrails and moose foliage being cleared in their honor. I think it's kind of weird. And maybe I'm not getting it. But my father served in the Canadian Forces. My father almost went to fight the Nazis in the Second World War. My grandfather, my grandpapa, was in the Royal Canadian Air Force. Spent some time in Africa. I got family that served. Neither of them wanted a highway named after them. That's all I'm saying. Or a street. And I certainly love all the streets that are off Empire Avenue, and I find it a beautiful coincidence. You know, Suvla and the rest, which are named after areas where battles were fought in the First World War. Right off Empire Avenue. Just think about that. Empire. It's amazing how we name streets, not just for, I mean, there's a part in St. John's that we've got Edmonton Place and all that stuff named after the provinces. Are we just out of names? But honestly, for you, friends and family of veterans, and if you're a veteran yourself, do you think it's nice that there's a highway named after veterans? Maybe I'm just not getting it, but I don't know. With all the problems that we're seeing in terms of money and respect that are not paid to our veterans here in the country of Canada, I wonder if this isn't pandering. And that's all I have to say. If you disagree with me, if you think I'm an idiot, or if you think I'm right, pick up the phone, give us a call, hit the Twitter box at VOCM Nightline, or send me an email, nice or naughty, or nasty, pardon me, nightline@vocm.com. I just think we can do more for our veterans, like give them more money for their pensions as opposed to naming a highway after them. And to have the actual army out there, some members of the Canadian Forces, to be there for a ribbon cutting for a street? I don't know. It seems to me a little bit much. Maybe I'm not getting it. Maybe I need a vacation. Maybe I'm too cynical. You tell me tonight. I'm all about it. But congratulations to DuCorp and everyone else involved in Galway. I can't wait to see these houses. 569,000, I think, is the model home, which was launched today. I love the photographs. That place looks stellar. It's fabulous. I can't wait to see how many people move into these homes. Good for you. I think that the movement of a commercial zone that closer to the bay is a good idea. Get the traffic out of Stavanger Drive. It's too congested, as you know. I was there today. Goodness gracious. There's too many cars. So we need to split up our commercial shopping within the city of St. John's. We need to provide savings of 30 minutes to those who come in from around the bay in terms of time and effort and traffic. Yes, yes, yes. If this reduces motor vehicle collisions, if this reduces stress levels, if this reduces traffic into those areas, these are all good things. What I don't want to see is a reduction of commerce within the Stavanger Drive area, but no doubt the market will dictate the changes, and let's all support and continue to support the other merchants who remain up there. But a reshuffling of commercial spaces is something that we're not unused to here in Newfoundland and Labrador. So You got to applaud the business acumen of former Premier Danny Williams as to his comments about Stan Marshall today and Ed Martin, et cetera, et cetera. You want to talk about that? I'm sure you do. I know you do. Give us a call tonight. We are very much eager for that. But anyway, enough about that. And it's important for me to say, just before we continue and go to Counselor at Large Sandy Hickman here, I mean no disrespect to veterans. I just speak to them on a regular basis, and not one of them has expressed any sense of gratitude to have a few kilometers of pavement named after them or those who fought for our country. It's a strange thing. I don't know, and I can only express their opinions, and frankly, they convinced me to take this perspective, and thank you for that, because is any rational thinking human being out there, we reserve the right to change our mind if we were convinced of a certain position one way or the other. And you know what? I can be convinced otherwise. We're going to go right now to Councillor at Large Sandy Hickman, and we're going to talk about something that's causing a bit of a hullabaloo in terms of traffic, gambling. Hello, Councillor Hickman. How are you?
Good evening, Jonathan. Let's talk about something completely different. That's
yes.
Right. The Chasey Ace is on out in the Goulds.
Goulds gambling. I never thought I'd put the two of those words together.
Well, we all enjoy our little shot at the prize, don't we? And, of course, this has been all over the province, I think, and certainly many locations, and they've had their usual problems in with traffic and everything. And I'm sure we had the same. I was out there about 3:30 this afternoon, and it was getting slow moving, put it that way. You could get through, but it was slow moving. On the main road. The side roads weren't bad, actually. But now, at this hour, it's crazy out there. And when the name or the number is called, I guess, probably just called 2 minutes ago.
Oh, yeah?
And everybody's leaving all at once. It's going to be so dumb. As people that are listening to take your time and be patient and try your luck again next week. But we have, RNC is out there. They're controlling the bid goods lot. A lot of people park there and walk down, of course. And the back line, Doylesville intersection. And as well, the interior on St. Kevin's main road. So we also have hired Safety First. They have the main road blocked from Doyle's to Keith Drive. Mm-hmm. So that there is some excess and some way of moving around outside, especially if people start leaving St. Kevin's. So, you know, it's an area that has the old traditional roads out there that have slowly been worked on over the years, and all the side streets that have been built over the years. And I can't say it's the most planned part of the city, so there will be congestion.
Well, it was planned for cows, right?
Yeah. And it wasn't long ago that I'm pleased that the city rebuilt Main Road a few years back. It wasn't long ago that was a bumpy old road that would have been slow going altogether, but. You know, it's. I feel really bad for the people that live out there, though, and getting into their homes. You know, if they weren't there before the rush, then you know it would be hard getting through there. Probably after six, I would say it would have been pretty busy out there. But the city is on top of it. The RNC are helping, but there's nothing we can do. We cannot remove the cars. The cars are there; they're moving slowly, and we ask everyone to be patient. And I don't know what else to say. But the parish is having a very successful fundraiser. And God bless them.
Yeah, God bless them. And listen, I love the fact that we're using the divine's name to sanction gambling. But there you go. This is what we're doing. And if it injects money into municipalities, I don't know, Councillor Hickman, what you think about this. I think it's great. We're seeing a wonderful way to raise funds for municipalities that are starving. The Goulds, not necessarily, but it's wonderful.
The parish, I heard lady on the TV tonight, with the parish saying that they had a bunch of work they had to do in the building, let alone other things, and just general operations. And this has been a godsend for them. It's really very important money to the parish, and good for them.
You're right, the parish. I meant the parish, not the municipality, yeah. But there are municipalities that do run the Chase of the Aces as well, right?
Well, I don't know about that for sure. I think usually they're charities. I don't think a municipality would get a license to do that.
Oh, yeah, it's a charity.
I don't know that for sure. Hmm. But, you know, instead of us all going to Las Vegas and spending our money and gambling over there, this is a great opportunity for us all to contribute to a parish charity and keep the money here in this land. That's a good point you make.
I think so. It is a great way to keep the money here. And, you know, it definitely is. I believe the essence of fundraising, as opposed to raising money and spending it on the internet to GoFundMe, where the money ends up in someone else's pocket.
I agree. That's key. And we need to, just like buying in stores. You know, the more we combine stores in Newfoundland, the more viable we make those. And people are employed there. The stores and the buildings pay taxes. And, you know, it's tough when people are doing so much online purchasing. And this is sort of the same thing. There are lots of opportunities online to spend and gamble your money. So this is a great opportunity to support a local charity.
Indeed.
Any chance you're going to hear who, if it was won tonight?
Hopefully, if it, you know, maybe after they crack their first local beer.
Yeah, they do the draw at 8. Because if it isn't gone tonight, I think there's up to 11 or 17 more potential weeks before all the cards will be gone. So they're delighted, of course, to keep it going. But there'll be just as much traffic or more next Wednesday. So let's keep our ears and eyes open for that.
Yes, and by listen, I don't know about you. You're a tall fella. I suppose you get seated close to the close to the front of an airplane. I don't know, but I don't have that kind of a privilege.
Yeah, I don't often either. I'm afraid.
Oh well, that stinks.
Moulin Rouge out of Toronto, in Montreal South, and I had to stand up and read a book. I couldn't.
Well, when the plane touches down, and I've only started doing this over the past 7 or 8 years, right? I don't get up. I just don't get up because it's a half hour of bending over a storage container waiting for everybody else to exit the plane. I just don't get up. I'll get up when the time comes, when the crowd is there. And people stare at me like I'm a pariah because I'm not taking part in this ridiculous collective consciousness of getting uncomfortable for another 30 minutes. That's why I love the train.
Opposite. I'm tall, so I need to stand up and stretch. As soon as the light goes off, I'm up. I guarantee it.
Did you just call me short?
No, I call myself tall. You're shorter than me.
No, but you are. Listen, I'm going to throw a few compliments your way. I was going to say you're a man of a wonderful stature, but before I do that, I should probably find out if you're running again for council because I don't want to. I don't want to be perceived as liking one over another.
No, you are, I'm sure, a neutral person. But, yeah, I'm running for council again. Very pleased to offer. And I was going to do a little press release this week, I guess maybe next week. But so I'll just certainly make that clear that I'm ready to run and offering at large again in September.
Well, I think in your case we should call it Councillor at Tall.
There you go. Let's do it that way.
All right.
Perfect, buddy.
From now and forevermore. Thank you for your time tonight, Counselor. And I take it you didn't win the Chase the Ace because you're talking to me as opposed to going to Vegas.
Maybe next week.
All right. Good luck.
Thank you, sir.
Good night. Bye-bye. Now, if anyone's out there stuck in traffic in the Goulds, you got nothing to do, sure I know you're listening to me, give us a call and tell us how many people are wagging their fingers at each other in frustration or perhaps saying hello to the cows out there in the beautiful Goulds. We'll be right back.
Call now, 273-5211, or 1-888-590-8626. 1-888-590-VOCM. Nightline will return on the VOCM Big Land FM radio network. This is Nightline on the VOCM Big Land FM radio network.
Welcome back to the show. You know, there is a hospice house in Grand Falls, Windsor called Lionel Kelland House. And in aid of the Lionel Kelland House on the 7th of July at the St. Joseph's parking lot in good old GFW, there's going to be a parking lot party time. And this has got a couple sponsors behind it. But the Tom Pinson Band, Charlotte Murphy Carey, Landlocked, ESP Productions and other acts who are yet to be announced will be there. Pre-teen dance from 7 to 8:30 and the adult dance at 10 o'clock. There will be live entertainment all day from 1 to 7. Don't know what happens or who's providing entertainment when the adults get to dancing. There will be food and refreshment and games. Tickets are available everywhere. Sure, Roy's TV, Centennial Grossateria, great name. Grossateria. Quick Stop Convenience and Jim's Red and White. Don't know what that is, but I can't wait to find out next time I'm up at the Grand Falls, Windsor. Folks, go support your local hospices. Go support whatever you can. I spoke to Canadian Red Cross today about Froude Avenue, trying to figure out how I could donate what little I have to donate. And they said that the Canadian Red Cross only, you know, will accept donations for emergency situations within the first 48 to 72 hours, and then they would defer to the local institutions or organizations. So in this case, folks, it would be the Froward Avenue Community Center. But, of course, you can continue to donate to the Canadian Red Cross because they just keep that money for other disasters, which, unfortunately, will continue to possibly happen in the near future. Keep that in mind. We're going to line number one. We are speaking with Tony. Hello, Tony.
Good evening, sir.
How are you?
I'm fine, sir, to see. My topic tonight is about Grosmont National Park, sir.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. I've been going out there for the last, I say, 25 years or more, every summer for three and four, sometimes up to 6 weeks.
Jeez, bye.
Traveling all over the park, from the beginning of the park right down to the Lansing Meadows, everywhere. But the one thing that's always missing is that, and you know, there's a long drive from one place to the other, right?
Uh huh.
If you've ever been there, there's an hour to drive to go from, say, Whittendale to Rocky Harbor. From Rocky Harbor, then you got to go back to the Tablelands. There's always an hour and a half drive every which way.
I'll be honest with you, I haven't been there since I was about 8 or 9 years old, but I do remember it was vast and it was long, and I slept.
And it's destroyed. It's a long drive from each place, but all the ways I was out there last year again, which I'm going out again on August the 3rd, I met people from all over this world. And they all come to Newfoundland to see the sights there, especially Rocky the Tablelands and Western Brook Pond, right? Now, when you get out to Western Brook Pond, as you know, if you can remember, it's a 45-minute walk from the time you park your car to get in where the pond is, so get on the boat for the trip, right? Mm. But it's a walk. But for a senior person that wants to go in there and see these sights and get a trip on the boat, they can't make that walk. Now, be honest with you, I took a lady in there a couple of years ago. She had her foot broke. And they did supply a wheelchair, two big wheels in the front, wheel in the front, easy to push.
Mm-hmm.
I took this lady in there, and she enjoyed the trip, and I took her all the way back out again. And she said, "Buddy, you should have some kind of a mechanism that you can set in and bring the seniors in there and back again. It's a nice walk for somebody that can walk with. For a senior person, no, they can't do it. And then the Newfoundland government is losing out on that bit of money. But besides that...
Okay.
What? Can you picture that walk?
No, I can't, but I can picture walking for an amount of time. Yeah, listen, if you're old and you play golf, you ride a golf cart, and you get out and you do what you have to do. You swing that ball or whatever it is the stick to hit the ball, and then you get back on the golf cart.
But they haven't got golf carts.
At certain times, yeah, you're right. At certain times of your life, you choose to go to particular destinations because they accommodate your physical capacity. Or, you know, you don't climb Mount Everest if you're a senior either, do you?
No. And again, I know that, sir. I know what you're saying. But another thing, the facilities out there for if you want to go to the bathroom are outrageous.
Tell me more.
Well, I'm thinking we were down at Arches last year in Grosmorne, that way. Okay. And to go into the bathroom, which is outhouse, you couldn't go in there because such of a bad smell, no alarm or nothing in there. We had to jump in the vehicles and drive 15 kilometers away to go into a restaurant to use the bathrooms. And people were complaining left, right, and center. And it was so bad, all over everywhere you go, you got this big long drive everywhere.
Yeah.
They could have different places, they could have those bathrooms that's used on construction sites, put them there and have a bunch of people just changing every 2 or 3 weeks, whatever it is. You know, it's going to create jobs, but it's going to make it easier for somebody to long, long drive.
Well, I suppose. I mean, those porta potties are $20,000 to $30,000 each, as far as I've been told. But here's the thing, sir. I went to Greece for my 25th birthday 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. No matter what airplane you got on or ferry, everyone was smoking. No matter what bathroom you visited that was public, it smelled like a donkey urinated in it, and generally they did.
Yeah.
Whether it was a Turkish toilet, a hole in the ground, or whatever it was, the bathrooms and the fact that there were rabid animals everywhere, or everyone was smoking in your face, and it was like that all over Europe. It's like that all over Quebec, frankly. Nobody cares because you're there to see the Temple of Athena, the Isle of Naxos, or whatever you do. You put these things out of your mind because the rest of your journey is going to be pleasant. It's like being in the back seat with your brother and your sister, and you're punching and screaming and kicking each other. But finally, when you get to the destination where you're going on vacation for your family vacation, you remember the fond memories. Bathrooms, no offense. I think we overreact to the fact that bathrooms smell like urine, because guess what? Our pee smells.
Which is true, but if you go to the places out in the world where they're expecting tourists, they spent somewhere over $300 million or something to make or $1 billion in tourism.
Yeah.
You think you provided something a bit better than that. You know, just an ordinary Odeos that we grew up with years ago, you know, no toilets as such.
Yeah.
But you think they can do something for tourism. They want the tourists to come here. And the price of gas out there right now is $1.47 a freaking litre.
Yeah.
Out there right now this day, $1.47 a litre out that way.
Yeah.
Compared to in here is $1.11. So, you know, they want tourists to come here, but, you know, if I was coming from the United States, I'd think twice because of the price of the boat coming across the Gulf and the gas alone.
I've been to several places in the United States where the bathrooms are worse than anything I've seen in downtown Montreal or Toronto. Or, you know, these alleyways that you take for shortcuts that are full of feces and urine and graffiti and whatnot. But you don't care because once you get to the CN Tower, it's beautiful. Once you get to the harbourfront, once you get to the exhibition center or wherever you're going, you forget about the poo and the pee along the way because that's what humans do.
Yeah, it's true enough.
Tourists or regulars, everybody poops.
Mm.
Yeah. If you get good service at a restaurant, that's one thing. But the cleanliness of bathrooms and public facilities, you just have to figure out that if it's a frequently visited place, it's going to smell like urine.
Mm. True, I agree with you there.
Yeah.
Just a thought, Land Drive, if somebody's put across the roads, in the arches, in the lookout places and stuff like that, that's all.
Sometimes when I've been on tour, I'll be honest with you, and listen, between you and me, and I know nobody's listened to the show, so here we go. Between you and me, I sometimes wonder that there are not more people selling incontinent pads, so people don't have to go to these public bathrooms, because sometimes they're absolutely vile. And I only mean that just to say that that's better than peeing on the side of the road or something like that, because then you could tick off the locals, right? Or you could upset other tourists. There are other ways to relieve yourself, but we live in a time where everyone is over-caffeinated, and you get a big supersized sippy cup at every gas station. So it's almost like self-fulfilling prophecy, don't you think, Tony?
Yeah, I think so too, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, that was my topic for tonight, sir.
Love it. Thank you very much, sir. Have a great time in Grossmoren, and I hope you're tuning in to VOCM Nightline while you're out there.
I'm a fanatic for radios. Certainly, a certain place you go, you can't get it out there.
Yeah.
You got to be up on the high hill. And when I get up in the morning, my radio's on, talk show's on. Well, one more question, if you don't mind asking.
Yes, sir.
What happened to Peter Snook at 2 o'clock in the afternoon? I loved that show. It was gone. What happened there?
I thoroughly enjoy it myself. Just
How
like
is it going back on?
I'm not sure. I'm just you know, I'm an employee here. I work on my own contract, and I'm not privy to that type of information.
No,
but
I wasn't being that kind of. But like my wife was, I get up and I put on a 9 o'clock show, 2 o'clock show, 8 o'clock show, and if I didn't have the radio in the house on, I got a pocket radio wherever I go walking. I got the radio on 24/7.
Me too.
And I just love listening to the talk shows, and boom, that one was gone.
Yep. Well, we've got Aiden Hibbs doing Around the Province, which is certainly enjoyable, but I do miss listening to Pete Soucy in the afternoon. Absolutely.
Yes, so do I. Mm. Okay, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tony.
Good night to you.
Bye-bye. All right. Everybody pees. It's absolutely true. We're going to line number two. We're speaking with Bob Dawson, the executive director of the Froud Avenue Community Center. Mr. Dawson, good evening, sir.
Good evening, Jonathan. How are you?
I'm good. I think we've covered the topic of portable toilets, but if you want to weigh in on that, we can certainly do so.
I will not be weighing in on that, my friend. I just want to give you guys, your listeners, an update on, you know, the situation around the fire in Froud Avenue that happened 2 days ago, plus, you know, how we're doing some of our support and stuff. And I just want to give everybody, your listeners, an update, so we didn't get anything crisscrossed or something was misconstrued by the public. So,
yes, sir.
So first of all, I kind of wanted to thank all the individuals and business donors that gave up their stuff to support all the members of the families that were affected by this fire. It was eight individual units, plus there was also another maybe 12 with smoke somewhat. So we've been taking care of those people. So all the people that contribute to that, a very big thank you. Also, I'd like to thank each and every one of the volunteers that spent the last 2 days at the center. And I'm not talking just days and nights, separating you know, the donations and the clothing donations and trying to target it to the individual age groups of the members of the family and stuff. Mm-hmm. That all has been done and whatever, so that's a big plus on our side. As for getting the donations and support that's coming our way and whatever, well, I just want the listeners to know, Proud Avenue is not affiliated with any GoFundMe page.
Okay.
Those guys are doing their stuff on their whoever they're going to do that for. But Proud Avenue is not affiliated with any one of those. So we want to make that kind of clear so that it doesn't, so people are not thinking wrong things about it, okay? With us or anybody else. So, but there is a, we also wish to let your audience know, we do not need any more drop-off of items, especially clothes and ties, to the community center. We'll just overrun. It's an amazing amount of support that's come in. We just don't have any room for it. We have two 40-foot bins outside of our center donated to us.
Full of clothes?
What's that?
Full of clothes?
Full of clothes.
Okay.
Okay, so clothes and ties is some of the things we cannot touch at the moment. We can't really touch any more. So it's really awesome to see so many people give, and that's really tremendous and a big a pat on the back of us Newfoundlanders taking support and supporting each other. Awesome mm-hmm. job. As for if you still want to donate, because there is going to be a lot of stuff when people get back into their homes and stuff. If you still want to donate to the community center to lend support back to the community, those families, then you can do it either one or two ways. Number one, what we'll be accepting while we're waiting on the decision of what we really need, we'll be accepting gift cards and we'll be accepting funds. But we'll only accept funds at the center at 89 Proud Avenue, or if somebody really, truly wanted to e-transfer funds, they can e-transfer to our Long Common employee, which is Lindsay Hines. And I'll give you her email address, which is lhines@ccanl.ca.
Should I put this out on Twitter or just not?
Yeah, you can do that. Yep.
Okay, ccnl.ca.
Yep, lhines@ccanl.ca.
CCANL.ca. If you wish to e-transfer funds for Froude Avenue Community Center.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
For Froude Avenue Community Center to support the families, you could do it that way.
So how does it get divided up amongst the families?
Okay. So what our plan to divide it up amongst the families is each and every one of the eight families will be assessed by a team of individuals from the community center, from a politician's office is going to help us. Jerry Rogers is going to help us. Mm-hmm. We are going to have some housing officials on that. We probably will have a board member from our board sit on it. And what we're going to do is we're going to assess the need of the individual eight families, right? Some families are bigger than others. Mm-hmm. Some are smaller, as you know. So we're going to check on the needs, check on how much has been given in, and we're going to try to divide it as evenly as possible so every member of the community feels good about what we've done, you know. So
yeah,
when we collect it, that's how we're going to do it.
That's good. So, and of course it's not weighted on how many budgies or puppies or cats you own. It's the humans that get the money, and the pets are not factored into this. No offense to pet owners, I'm one myself, I love them, but humans come first.
Well, I can tell you now, just a bit, and not a big shout out to all the people that supported our pets that were in that fire.
Mm-hmm.
Or that people have dropped off lots of pet food.
Good.
In abundance, and they dropped off kennels for people and support. So that's a big shout out too. That's awesome.
It's amazing.
Whatever. So the only thing is, as I mentioned earlier, like to put things on hold, because the only thing that is when these families move into their new units, which is going to take a little while because it's just not that easy to put a person back into a unit.
Of course.
They're going to need household items. They have nothing. They're coming to start from scratch. So they're going to need household items, possibly, you know, some furniture and stuff. We will, through our Facebook page, put out a call for people if they got some donations. But we will itemize that list and put it on our Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
We won't ask for something that we cannot give away.
Of course. That makes perfect sense.
Right. So, you know, so we, what we're trying to do, we're trying to, in that assessment of the family, we will also assess exactly what they need. Right?
I love it.
You know, it's no good giving somebody a three-bedroom couch and love seat and chair set if the room that they're going into is only a single room.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're 100% correct there. And thank you for that. We do have to go to the break here, Bob, but listen, you're doing some great work, and I'm going to figure out some other initiatives, so I need to speak to you off the air. I'll call you after Canada Day, and we'll have a chat, okay?
Perfect. Thanks, Jonathan. Much appreciated. And a big thank you again to all the supporters and the listeners out there that are contributing. Anyway, awesome job.
I'm grateful for the things that you do, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Question I have for anybody, can you tell me, if you are a client of housing and your house tragically burns down, or your living establishment, where do you end up in the priority? Because there are waiting lists for people to avail of housing. Do you go to the bottom, or do you get special priority because you were in housing, but you were disrupted as a result of flooding or fire? I don't know. If anyone can help me answer that question, drop us a line tonight. We're looking forward to your call. We'll be right back. Mark Bradbury from
Call
Easter
now,
Seals.
273-5211 or 1-888-590-8626. 1-888-590-VOCM. Nightline will return on the VOCM Big Land FM radio network. This is Nightline on the VOCM Big Land FM radio network.
Welcome back to the show. We're going to line number one. We're speaking with Mr. Mark Bradbury, the Chief Executive Officer of Easter Seals. How are you, sir?
Very good, Jonathan. How are you?
I'm all right, bye. I'm all right.
Oh, it's good.
Yeah.
You're hanging in there, right?
I'm hanging in. I'm like that cat in the motivational poster that's hanging from the tree branch. Hang in there.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. I want to be that cat and let go of the branch and land on a luxury cabin. Can you help me?
I know. Well, you know what? We can. That's pretty awesome, actually. Easter Seals, Newfoundland and Labrador, we've embarked again now with an exciting initiative again to raise funds for its many programs and services for persons with disabilities. And it's right in the wheelhouse of what all Newfoundland and Labradorians love, and that's the outdoors. We love to get outdoors, and everyone loves getting up to the cabin for the weekend. Well, we've launched our now second annual Amazing Outdoors Lottery, and it's the Luxury Cabin Lottery, as well as we title it. And it's very exciting. It's really, really caught on here in the province.
Yeah, it's fantastic. You got the early bird prize, which is happening on the 14th of July. That's a couple of weeks away. Tell us the details of the actual lottery itself, because I need to know, because I want that cabin.
Yeah, I know. Oh, it consists. The lottery consists of over 150 prizes, with the grand prize being an amazing 2,700 square foot custom designed luxury cabin valued at $500,000 on a private riverfront lot at the Wilds on the Salmon Air River. Just beautiful, just a 45-minute drive from St. John's. And, you know, it's awe-inspiring. It has, you know, the master suite loft overlooking the grand area below, two bathrooms, 8-foot garage, shelter toys, and so on, windows overlooking the river. I mean, it's a dream come true, without a doubt. And what? Then in secondary... Sorry?
You get a personal golf cart as well. And
you do, yes.
And I got to ask, can you drive that on the highway like the buys do with their quads?
No, we wouldn't recommend that for Easter Seals. No, not at all.
Okay.
But you can drive it up around the corner and play golf at the Wilds Golf Resort.
Deadly.
for a whole year, you know, on the luxury cabin dime. And then and along with a personal cart. And then, of course, you can then play for every year thereafter if you like.
Sweet.
And then there's also fantastic secondary prizes. You know, just so because some people like one pickup truck over another, well, Hickman Auto Group has sponsored us, and we have a choice of one of three 4x4 trucks. I mean, this is an outdoors lottery. We have the 2017 Nissan Titan truck, the Chevrolet Silverado, or the Dodge Ram. Pick one of those. And then the early bird prize, like you mentioned, July the 14th, deadline. Get it in. If you're going to get a ticket, you might as well get it, because you're going to
possibly win a trip for two down sunny south or a cruise via Harvey's Travel.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then we have September giving away a $200 North Atlantic gas card a day, every day in September. There's and then we have at the end $100 Coastal Outdoors gift cards. There's $10,000 worth of Coastal Outdoors gift cards. The Freshwater Suzuki 2017 King Quad 750 Special Edition power steering.
That's what I want.
Imagine on it.
Yeah,
I know.
I want
that. Actually, right, they've actually brought it up to Easter Seals' house on Mount Sawyer Road.
Oh, yeah?
It's right in the corner in the multi-purpose room. Mm. And you have to see it. Yeah, I mean, what a beautiful machine.
Well, my Costco partner has a wonderful spot out in Blackhead, and we got a little shack, and I mean little.
Yeah.
It's one of those Costco sheds. It's fantastic, right. And yeah, it's all you need. You know, we cook outdoors. We enjoy the outdoors time, but all our neighbors keep coming up to us and telling us, "Listen, boys, you need a quad."
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I'm in.
You should. You should get in. And there's only $30 a ticket. One last prize. I can't leave them out. You can win one of 25 $100 Wilds gift cards, and so you can go play golf. You can go to their resort.
Ooh.
Which has a pool and so on, spend the night. It's a great little spot. And don't forget our 50-50 draw, which was well over $250,000 last year. So that was our first year. So this year we're expecting it to be, you know, even much higher. It's only $30 a ticket, Jonathan. And or you can go, they're even cheaper if you go into the bundle packages.
Yep.
And it's easy. Just go to cabinlottery.ca mm-hmm. to get your ticket. Or you can go by phone, 1-866-820-9515. So it's a great lottery, fantastic. It's what we all love to do, going out in the outdoors, and it's this amazing bunch of prizes, and that cabin is certainly the dream.
Pardon my ignorance, but are the windows, you know, golf ball proof, just in case someone slices?
We made sure that the windows were on the opposite side, facing away from the golf course.
Okay. You know what I'm saying, yeah. Right? Okay.
Right, you know what you mean.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Especially with my slice. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Oh man, listen. I don't golf because I'm a terrible tennis player. I used to play tennis like baseball. So I've tried. I've been out to the driving range with my father because he's an avid right. golfer. Got his first hole in one at 88 years old, and he wants me to golf. All my brothers golf, but I suck. And I don't want to do it because there's something between the biomechanics of the human body and hitting a ball that I just don't jive. And I would definitely hit a window.
Guarantee it's going to happen, isn't it?
Yep. Yeah. And I hope those odds play in my favor when I purchase the tickets for the cabin lottery.
But get it. If you're going to buy a ticket, you might as well get it before July 14th so that you can get in for that trip for two.
Oh, I'm doing it next week. Don't you worry, on payday, my friend. I'm getting
It's only a couple of weeks away. Might as well do it now.
Might as well. And I think the package for $150 is a good deal because only are you getting in on the 50-50, you're getting five cabin lottery tickets and five 50-50. And last year, I think the 50-50 was $250,000, right?
It was. It was $261,190. And like I say, it was our first year at the CAT, and where we think this year it's going to be much higher, much higher. We launched earlier, and we're thinking it's going to be much higher this year.
Well, if I get this luxury cabin, I'm putting a luxury smoker in the backyard, and everyone's going to be happy. That's all I got to say.
It'll be over from smoked kippers and salmon, eh?
Oh, my son. All right. Thank you very much for your time and all the good things that you do with and for the Easter Seals here in Newfoundland and Labrador. Mark Bradbury, you have yourself a great Canada Day weekend, and we'll speak soon.
Thanks, Jonathan. Thanks to the OCM for having me on. Appreciate it very much.
Good night to you. My pleasure.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right. See you. Bye-bye.
Yeah. The King Quad. Oh, my God. It's so big. We're going to go to the news. We'll be right back.
Call now, 273-5211 or 1-888-590-8626. 1-888-590-VOCM. Nightline will return on the VOCM Big Land FM radio network. This is Nightline on the VOCM Big Land FM radio network.
Welcome back to the program. The 22nd annual Maupukek First Nation Pow Wow will be taking place Friday, July 7th, all the way until Sunday, the 9th of July in 2017. There you go. If you want more information, I suggest you go on Twitter and email or tweet to Trevor Stride, and that is at Stride20. Right now, we're going to speak with Steve Martin on line number one. Is this the Steve Martin that plays the banjo and is known for stand-up comedy?
No, just the guy that runs Squid Fest.
Darn it! I had so many questions for you.
I wish I should get lessons just so I can say that yes, I do play banjo.
Yeah, man. He's actually. I don't know if you know much about the other Steve Martin.
I know all about him.
Okay. Have you heard his bluegrass record?
Yeah, he's actually quite good.
He's amazing. He truly
yeah, he's
is
very good.
I'm a big fan, and I'm a big fan of Squid Fest too, sir. So let's
yeah,
do
maybe
it.
We'll get him one day.
That would be wild. All right, let's talk about it. Squid Fest is approaching. When, where, and what?
Yeah, so we have Squid Fest coming up in the town of Holyrood, and that's July 12th to the 16th, and this is the 29th annual Squid Fest. And we have over about 20 different events happening over the course of 5 days. Of course, our biggest event is the beach party on Saturday, July 15th. And headlining that, we have Shannon Ganook and the Fortunate Ones, followed by Rum Ragged, the Bishops, and Gary and Witt. And that's a show very popular. Last year, we had somewhere around 1,800 people on the field. Great time. And this year, gentlemen, we got tickets available online. So we always found it a struggle because we do get a lot of people from outside of Holyrood as well as in Holyrood attend this concert. And we used to sell them at Fred's Records. And now this year, we got a new website and people can just buy them from the comfort of their home.
Just fantastic. I was at Squid Fest 2 years ago with my buddy Adam Blanchard of Five Brothers Cheese. We had a blast listening to Shannon Ganook. Of course, the Fortunate Ones were there. I didn't get a chance to stick around for the squid eating competition, but I'm good friends with Counselor Peter Pettipaw of Whitburn, and I affectionately refer to him as Counselor Squiddy.
He's the three-time champ, and this year I'm expecting him back. I hope he comes back.
I hope so, too.
I'm hearing rumors from VOCM that they may be putting in a team. So
really?
You might be in luck.
Oh.
You might have your chance to beat him.
Patrick Myler and I are very much looking forward to that. Now, I'm looking at your website, squidfest.ca. There's great photographs of all the bands, but I don't see Peter Pettipaw as the three-time champion of squid eating competition. Why is that?
Yeah, you don't get your picture up there until the fourth time.
All right. Listen, you said it on radio. It can't be undone.
Yeah, so we do have the calamari eating competition, which is called Squid Your Face Off. That's on our Sunday fun day. Mm-hmm. And people can register right online for that as well. A few other concerts that I do want to mention. Opening night, and this is going to be a real great show, July 12th, which is a Wednesday night at our Holy Cross Swim Park, which we've turned into a little concert venue as well. We have Sherman Downey doing a solo act there to kick off the festival. On Friday night, we have in the same venue at our swim park, we have John Kern and Chris LeDrew doing a songwriter circle style concert. Mm-hmm. That's going to be another fantastic event. We've done the Sundance Songwriters now the last few years. So that's another great concert to take in. Two other major events that we do have going on is our Newfoundland Chocolate Company and wine tasting.
Oh.
That's on Thursday night, again, at the Holy Cross Swim Park. And another very popular event Friday afternoon at 7 on George Cove, which is a cheesecake tasting on George Cove Mountain.
Oh, yeah.
Also very popular. And like I said, all these tickets can be purchased either online
okay.
at squidfest.ca, or people can head to our Squid Fest. We have Squid Fest headquarters, which is everything Squid Fest, if you want information, brochures, merchandise, tickets, at the Holy Cross Swim Park on the Holy Road Access Road. You can stop by there and pick up anything that you need Squid Fest related.
Can I get Squiddy into the VOCM Nightline studio for a live interview? Because I want to see Squiddy right here.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't foresee that. He's a very, very distinct voice.
He does. That would be great. And I would also like to have Councillor Pettipaw in the room to see if he wants to eat Squiddy.
I think he should challenge you.
I think so. That would be anyway, I'm just kidding, of course. We don't want to eat Rudy. He's a wonderful mascot. We want to celebrate the fact that Rudy likes other squids to be eaten, but not him or her.
Exactly. Rudy's fun for squids of all ages, right?
So. the family outdoor movie, what is it this year?
It's Smurfs 3, so it's a new movie that's came out, and that's a great family-oriented event. It's only $5 a person. And, so we set up the outdoor screen, kind of like an old-school movie. Mm-hmm. And right there on the water, too, you can't get better scenery than our festival grounds, especially for the Saturday night show there, too. I mean, sitting down, watching the sunset,
right,
listening to the Fortunate Ones, it's going to be quite the night. And we got lots of other things happening. Mm-hmm. We have boat tours happening. There's a 50-50 that's going to be happening as well. A number of restaurants have came on board and are doing different calamari dishes, which we've grouped into the Holyrood Calamari Crawl that people can visit restaurants while they're in Holyrood.
That's happening at the Station Diner, I think, is one of them?
Station Diner is one. The Tea Garden is another, and the Beach Cottage on Holyrood. They all have different dishes. So,
amazing.
You know, Jonathan, we've kind of been... I found years ago the squid got kind of lost within the festival, and we've been really trying to bring it back through branding, different events, calamari, and it's working, and people seem to love this festival.
I agree with you.
And I can tell you now, this is a festival that tickets sell out in the last week, and then people are running around looking for tickets, or they come very hard to purchase in the last week right before the festival. So if you are planning on coming to the festival, you can certainly visit squidfest.ca. The link is there to all the tickets, and we hope to see you at Holyrood.
Good times will be had by all, and I'm glad that you're bringing squid back as the profile dish, because it certainly deserves the limelight, the spotlight, and I'm sure that there will be lots consumed that week. So it's a bad time to be a squid over the next 30 days, but it's a good time to be a Newfoundlander and Labradorian. Thank you, Steve Martin.
And thank you, Jonathan. Appreciate the time. All
Take
the
care.
Best. Take
Bye-bye.
Care.
And squidfest.ca is the website where you can find out all of the information. Line number 2, we're speaking with Sean. Hello, Sean.
Yeah, good night, sir. How's Jonathan doing?
Not too bad, sir. How are you?
Good. Just had the call. I normally don't do this, but I just had the call on Danny Williams' comment today, and
okay,
didn't sound too good to me, to be honest with you.
What was he saying?
Well, he was comparing Muskrat Falls to Bull Arm and what was going on in Argentina, but these are all private corporations. It's not public money, right? Muskrat Falls is public money,
right,
the way I see it.
I can't disagree with you.
Right, you know, and public money should be held to a higher standard, as far as I'm concerned, because we got to live with this. This is money that's going to land on taxpayers in Newfoundland. Right? So, you know, he raised his arms when he got the deal. We got the money. And to be honest with you, this province is worse off than it ever was. All they did was spend.
Yeah. I think that if you're talking about when he got off the plane at the airport, that was different.
Yeah.
That was with the Atlantic Accord. That was a negotiation with the Prime Minister, Paul Martin, at the time. That had nothing to do with Muskrat Falls.
No, but it was still all tied that we got the money and everything else. And, you know, I may be wrong, but, you know, they didn't look at anything else besides wind power or anything else. And this is one of the best places in the world. It's noted for wind power. So I may be wrong, but, you know.
Well, we certainly have a lot of wind. I don't know in terms of the ability or capacity to harvest it, because it comes from all directions, but I don't know. I'm no engineer. I'm with you.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You know, he gets on there and complains about, you know, turn circles and everything else. You know, something? As far as I'm concerned, he should just go away.
Why?
Right. Well, you know, I think he's one of the worst things to happen to Newfoundland. They think, you know, people love him too. So, but that's my personal opinion. But
yeah, well, whether or not people think that he is or is not the worst thing to happen to
him. He's not a politician anymore, but he's on there fighting for everything, you know, like he is still.
Well, there are a lot of people who operate businesses that fight for particular causes, sir. Politician, former politicians or not, you know, you. people put their money where their mouth is, and whether it's in terms of nonprofit organizations or
Yeah, but yeah. when you compare it to commercial programs like Bull Arm and everything else, Overruns and everything else, is, you know, it just don't make a lot of sense to me, especially when you're putting houses up for sale for almost $600,000.
I'm not sure that what the connection is between the two.
No?
No.
No, okay. No. He seems to, he keeps seeming to say he cares about the people of Newfoundland, but I don't know, he only seems to care about himself.
Can't you do both?
Well, yes. Yeah.
I mean, I care about myself, but I also care about people.
You got to look after yourself, too. Right? You know, that's true enough.
And right? you look after your family. I don't understand why people hold politicians to a different level of accountability.
He was a Republican, isn't he?
He was. He isn't anymore.
He was. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but he seems to come on an attitude and defend the people and everything else, and... You know, it just don't sit right, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, okay. Listen, I'm not defending or attacking him in this conversation. I'm just offering a counterpoint.
No, me either, you know, but, you know, I'm not going to say the bad word. I'm trying not to say a bad word about anybody.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. The ticket price of the houses, I found a little shocking, $570,000, insofar as I've said this many times, I don't know if you listen to the show, I don't understand the logic of promoting rural Newfoundland and Labrador as a place to continue to subsist and a place to promote business and maintain people in their houses, as well as the idea of building a town the size of Gander within the limits of St. John's. We don't have enough people to populate both.
This province is long overdue for a resettlement, and I think that's where everything is going to go. But how can we afford to keep ferries run these little communities with a couple hundred people? That's the truth about it.
That's a very good point, and no politician seems to have the guts to address this.
No, they don't.
But maybe resettlement is not the... Maybe we need to look at the fact that this province needs a repopulation as well as a resettlement. If we can find people to move here, we can do both.
You're not going to get the people.
Say again?
If the work is not here, you're not going to get the people. You know what I'm saying? If the work is not here, you're not going to get the people.
So that is up to not only government, but people who hold business enterprises to create jobs. And I throw this to you, sir. Mr. Williams is creating jobs when he is having a subdivision or a city known as Galway built within the city of St. John's. He's keeping people here. He's allowing people to pay their mortgages. Not allowing, but you know what I mean. Providing work opportunities. Yeah. Therefore, these folks who work... on the Galway development are able to stay in Newfoundland, Labrador, and sleep at night knowing that they're going to pay their bills. Is that not a good thing?
Yes, no, but where are you going to get the people? Where's the industry? This province is, to be honest with you, in my opinion, this province is almost dying. Who's going to stay here with the tax rate? And everything keeps going up, gas keeps going up. They get a little bit of rebate when the tax comes out. But to be honest with you, I lived in Ontario. I lived in a couple other provinces. I've worked in Europe. I've worked all over this country. Mm-hmm. And you know something, to be honest with you, it's not looking good here. It's not.
It's certainly has its challenges. I'd like to. Are you still working or are you retired?
No, I'm retired from the military 20 years, but I'm working, yeah.
Good for you.
Right? You know, I've done 20 years in the military. I joined the infantry when I was 70 or 80.
Amazing.
I'm looking at it right now, and it's like this province has nothing to offer.
Well, I respectfully disagree. I think there's a lot that this province has to offer, but sometimes we have to chase...
tax rates, gas, and everything else, and basing budgets on tax rates, and, you know, it doesn't look good. It doesn't look good. How do you raise a family in this and buy a mortgage? Interest rates are about to rise in the next couple of years. They are.
Good points.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Challenging times.
And gas is not going down. The price of the barrel is going down, but gas is not going down in this province.
It's a strange correlation, isn't it, Sean?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't look good.
Sean, we got to leave it here. We got to go to the break, but you raised some excellent points. Any final thoughts?
Yeah, one final thought. You know, this province, instead of Muskrat Falls, you should have looked at wind power and solar. And besides selling anybody else, we should look after ourselves. Because nobody else is going to look after us. Only us.
Thanks for your time, sir. We'll speak again.
Have a good night, John.
You too. Bye. Bye-bye. All right, we're going to go to the break. We'll be right back.
Call now, 273-5211, or 1-888-590-8626. 1-888-590-VOCM. Nightline will return on the VOCM Big Land FM radio network. This is Nightline on the VOCM Big Land FM radio network.
Welcome back to the program. You can follow along the conversation on Twitter. We are at VOCM Nightline. Send us an email, nightline@vocm.com. Having a great chat with Kathy Hicks over at Spirit of Newfoundland. She is the co-owner and CEO, and the Masonic Temple as well. We're looking to get a little cook-up fundraiser on the go for Froude Avenue, so that's good. That's kind of what I was having in mind. It's great to have people who are interested in that as well. Pretty easy to find people who would get together to do good things, and Kathy is certainly one of those individuals. So let's see what happens there. We'll keep you posted. We're going to go to line number one. We're speaking with John. Hello, John.
How are you this evening, bud?
I'm all right. By you?
That's fine.
Good.
Listen, the other night you were talking about the difference between the West End and the East End of St. John's.
Yeah.
I got news for you, huh?
What?
Just the way I looked at it. I don't know if you know, down on Water Street, across from Bennett Brewery, you had the West End pub and the East End pub.
That's
they were like
right.
500 yards apart.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that?
Well, I was born in 71, and that's my hood you're talking about. I remember I was just, let's say, tall enough to remember the Bennett strike, and when we were all forced to have Old Milwaukee in our backpacks.
All right, but I think the center line was the Bennett Road,
yeah.
The Bennett Brewery, and the West End Pub was on the, if you're looking at the pub, or you're looking at the brewery, the West End Pub was on your right, the East End Pub was on your left. So right. Everything, or sorry, vice versa. So everything left of Bennett Brewery was the West End. Everything right, Bennett Brewery was the East End.
You're right.
What do you think?
You're right. You're darn right. And it was marked by pubs.
500 yards apart. That was it. And the West End pub was full of the crowd from the Brow.
Yeah.
And the East End pub was full of the crowd from Holy Cross Soccer Field.
And which side were you on, John? What side were you on?
Hey?
Which side were you on?
Well, I was from the West End. I was up Morver Street.
Nice.
Where am I?
Thanks for the memories. That's lovely.
That young fella you just had on there talking about Newfoundland economy. He had you pausing.
Well,
he had some good things to say, I thought.
He does. And, you know, he has me pausing because these are questions that we all ask ourselves each and every day. I mean, I love my province. I came back here in 2010, and I came back here with a promise to myself that I wouldn't leave. I say to everybody, I put myself on the no-fly list. But it's hard. It's challenging, isn't it?
It's an unfortunate thing that the politicians in Newfoundland, the ones that promote themselves on your show on a regular basis, regularly throughout each day of the week,
mm-hmm.
even when they're working, they're listening, and they should be working. But they're not listening to those guys like this, the young fella Sean that was just called India.
I think they do listen. They just don't have the courage to talk about it.
Pardon me?
They do listen. They just don't have the courage to talk about it or make policy to get us somewhere. I mean, the population growth strategy that came out was embarrassing. We don't know where we're going right now in terms of the way forward documents. I don't see any tangible evidence of any solid policy thrusts for us to repopulate this province. And we need to address this. Not only that, we need to address the idea of rural Newfoundland and Labrador as to whether or not we can continue to sustain it, whether it's ferries or roads or access to health care. It's a challenge, by it truly is.
It is. And the young fella spoke from the heart, the young fella Sean.
He did.
Kudos to him.
Kudos indeed.
And I don't know if you remember, I called in last year talking about the lady in Spaniards Bay with that fire department who was being harassed. It's been a while since I spoke with you, but kudos to her, too, and I hope everything worked out.
Yeah, she wasn't pleased with the final report. She came on the show after that, but kudos to her for standing up for what she believes in, absolutely.
Anyway, I'm calling in now because there was a question there yesterday on your website. It says, with net metering legislation coming next month, we'll be looking for alternative energy sources to offset your power bill.
Oh, my.
My question is to the Newfoundland government or whoever's coming up with this net metering legislation, what is it? how does it function, and how much are you going to pay? In layman's terms, send me a flyer in the mail to the people of Newfoundland and Labrador before you even decide to hook it up. That's my question. What is it?
Good question.
You have no idea, do you?
Not off the top of my head, no. There's a lot of...
It's bloody shocking. It's bloody shocking.
Well, I mean, it came out in 2015, right? The idea of net metering. This is a couple of years old, so I don't know where we are in this.
Okay, well, it's coming next month, according to your website here.
Right on.
So nobody's been informed, as far as I know. So if anybody's listening, you haven't been informed, there's a good chance your light bill is probably going to go through the roof.
Is this not, I think we're permitting 5% of energy consumers to become energy producers across the province? Does that ring a bell?
I see.
No more than 5%? I don't know. That number sticks in my head. I'm not sure why.
It's a funny thing, eh? I'm coming home now tomorrow.
Right on.
Visit my sisters in St. John's. And I've been talking to some cabin owners out around the bay. And the wonderful thing about the utility companies, they'll put pole lines into your cabins under the assumption that, you know, somebody would like to have some electricity so you can have a nice benefit while you're using your seasonal property. But apparently, you're not going to be able to hook up to the hydro unless you put in a $15,000 sewer bed. So that part really floors me altogether. Are you aware of this?
Yeah, I've heard situations like this, but I don't know if it is for each individual. I know that the issue is if you are able to have hydro, so here's the theory anyway, if you're able to have hydro serviced to your cabin, if it's far out, let's say in theory, in the woods or something like that, off the road, then at the same time that is being installed, you should have other infrastructure improved so there is no redundancy. You know, in other words, to have crews come back, why not get them both done at the same time? I didn't realize that you were held, quote unquote, hostage to get them both done at the same time.
Oh, there's a wall put up big time wall. So, okay, let's say a feller's got the hydro makes the decision, not me, the cabin owner, to run a pole line into my cabin area, right?
After so you make an call, application.
I make the call and say, okay, you got a pole line put in here, what's up? You want me to hook up so I can pay you money, which puts money into the economy in Newfoundland?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, yeah, no problem. And then I call an electrician, and an electrician comes by, and he goes to put in his stuff. And then the first thing he says to me is, you need to have a sewer bed. I'm like, excuse me? This is a cabin. You know, I either got an outhouse or I have a holding tank.
Right.
Did I get pumped out? Why do I need a sewer bed to sign off to get electricity on a service that's been brought to me, hoping to get my business? It's very confusing. I like this wall that's been thrown up in front of people in the Newfoundland and Labrador.
John, in this theory, in this hypothetical situation, how many cabins are close by you? Are they putting the pole up there just for you, or are they putting the pole up there for several cabins?
That pole's gone in for at least a good 50.
Okay. Well, that's a different story. So we're not talking about the one-offs. We're talking about putting a pole in to service an area that is now a seasonal residence as opposed to just a shack in the woods.
Exactly.
Okay. So the sewer bed would be paid for by the entire 50, by the owners of all 50 units, or is it just the one person each is 15,000?
No, that's not how it works. And the funny thing about it is it's Crown land. So for starters, under what I believe or what I've read, you're not allowed to have a sewer bed on Crown land. You have to have a holding tank because no sludge is allowed to go into the ground bed. And that's what people have, or the majority of people have. So you understand the twist here?
I do. It's pretty devious the way you're describing it.
And devious is not the word for it. Like, I don't understand any of this stuff.
Let me see what I can find out. Who do I call? Do I call Hydro or do I call the municipality?
Well, you're wasting your time calling Hydro. They'll say, yes, fine. We'll come in and hook up the line. No problem. He said, your problem is Newfoundland government or so-called / environmental services. Are we having environmental services or issues in Newfoundland or what?
Oh, yeah.
Environmental issues? Because last time I checked, bears and Newfoundlanders have been going in the woods for the last 700 years. And as far as I can tell, there's nothing wrong.
Where's your cabin tour? Do you want to say that on the air?
I don't want to go down that road.
Okay, no problem. But it's a place where there are 50. Are these new cabins or old?
These cabins are old as the hills.
Right.
People built and put their cabins on the old train lines when the train ran years ago, because the train took people to their cabins.
Right.
Okay?
Makes sense.
And the last time I checked, when people went to their cabins 60 years ago, they went somewhere to go in the woods, you know what I mean? And as far as I know, there's no environmental damage. Because I haven't read about it, or I haven't seen any large environmental impacts on the island of Newfoundland or Labrador.
I can't.
In regards to human waste.
Yeah, I can't speak to that.
I don't know who's developed this so-called policy, but if you're going to run a poll line, and if you want me to hook up, I'll hook up and I'll pay the money, and I'll put that money in the economy of Newfoundland. But if you want to play games for somebody to pay $10,000 and $15,000 to put in a sewage bed that's not required because you're on crown land, because you're not supposed to put sludge in the ground bed, then fine.
John, you're in a local service district, yeah?
You're going to force people to go off-grid.
Are you in a local... Okay, sorry. I just need to ask this critical question, sir. You've made your points loud and clear with respect to your resistance and opposition and disgust with this policy, and I do share some of it, but I have to ask, are you in a municipality? Is your cabin in a municipality, or is it in a local service district?
What do you mean by that?
Do you pay taxes to a municipality, or are you in a local service district?
I pay taxes to the provincial government of Newfoundland.
So, a local service district is an unincorporated municipality, right? A small town, in other words.
No, I pay crown land fees.
Okay, so your land is not in an LSD or a municipality. It's out in the middle of nowhere.
That's correct.
50 cabins are in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. And there's a power line came in.
There's no town hall.
Why would you put a power line in? That's my question.
Is there a town hall?
No.
There's
an association.
Okay.
For cabins.
Who picks up your garbage?
You take it to the dump.
And you plow your own roads?
That's correct.
Okay. All right, John.
Why am I being limited? Well, I don't know which politician that calls in here that's all friendly and promotes himself that's in charge of environmental / hydro in Newfoundland, but whoever he is needs to get off the pot. Because if it comes down to the fact that a fellow with money decides to build a new cabin, right?
Yeah.
A fellow who got the bucks, and all of a sudden his lines goes in, that makes it all good? I don't think so.
Well, we're speaking in hypotheticals, but I hear your point. Right? Mm-hmm. John, I hear your points. I'll see what I can find out, but of course I'll need to know where you live, so maybe I'll where the cabin is, so maybe I'll call you off the air.
I just hope that the politicians are listening. Because it's just a bloody big tax rap. Just like your net metering legislation that's going to come in and bite you in the ass here shortly.
Thanks for the call, John.
Cheers.
Good night. Bye-bye. Not the first time we've heard these complaints and railing against the fact that your cabin in the woods is now becoming a cash grab in some people's eyes. And that's it. All right, we're going to go to the break, yes, we're going to go to the break. Afterwards, we're speaking with Lisa McLaughlin, who is with the Nature Conservancy of Canada. She was the only participant from Canada in a recent International Academy for Nature Conservation in Wilhelm Island in Germany. It's going to be a fascinating conversation. Stay where you're to.
Call now, 273-5211, or 1-888-590-8626. 1-888-590-VOCM. Nightline will return on the VOCM Big Land FM radio network. This is Nightline on the VOCM Big Land FM radio network.
And welcome back to the program. We are going right now to line number two. We're speaking with Lisa McLaughlin, who is with the Nature Conservancy of Canada. Hello, Lisa.
Hello.
How are you tonight?
Very well, thank you.
Thanks for joining us. I'm not sure if you've even unpacked your luggage.
Not fully, not yet.
You were one of only 23 people attending the International Academy for Nature Conservation in Wilhelm Island in Germany. Sounds to me like it was a fascinating time. I think the fact that there were so few people there is more of a benefit than it is a detriment, because no doubt you had productive conversations and got to know each other quite well.
Yeah, that's exactly right. This this workshop was organized by the World Commission on Protected Areas, and they brought together 23 people from 15 countries, where we talked about how we could share our ideas and our lessons learned on protecting private land in all of the different countries around the world.
So we have a lot of people who take umbrage with the capturing of Crown land by the Nature Conservancy of Canada, and the capturing of private land, which is sold or donated to the Nature Conservancy of Canada. And we have many who feel exactly the opposite. It's a real issue that we have, and not only in this province, I would imagine. We have a great love of the outdoors in Canada. In fact, it's part of the myth of the Canadian. Therefore, this is right on the money. I'm quite surprised you were the only Canadian involved.
Yes, this is a relatively small group of people who, like the Nature Conservancy of Canada, work with willing landowners. So we only work with landowners who are interested in seeing their land protected in some way. And that may be by continuing to own the land and having a conservation easement on it. But in other cases, like you said, some landowners decide to sell or donate their land to groups like the Nature Conservancy of Canada all around the world.
Mm-hmm.
In some cases, these landowners also just fully retain their own properties, but choose to manage them for conservation purposes.
Okay. So, and how? What are the guidelines to manage your land for the purposes of conservation?
Well, that's exactly what we were talking about. So privately protected areas are a new and emerging field around the world. And so we don't have a lot of guidance right now on how to identify them, what's the best way to create them, how can we manage them. Mm-hmm. And so the purpose of this meeting was to coordinate with countries who are doing this work, share the ideas, so that at the end we're looking to create a best practices document so that we can learn from each other and try to do conservation globally.
We all know that international projects have a bit of a challenge when it comes to everyone agreeing on the set of values and policy procedures as to what should or should not be the norm. It's great that there are only a few of you at this table at the International Academy for Nature Conservation, but how do we enforce the ideas and the policy thrusts which come out of this future document upon the world stage?
Yeah, so the aim is for us to get a few ideas down on paper together.
Mm-hmm.
And then as we get those thoughts more developed, we're going to share that with a bigger group of people.
Okay.
And then get those thoughts developed and keep sharing it out so that we can have quite a significant amount of input from people all over the world. And the aim then will be to give this guidance for governments, for policymakers, and for private landowners who are interested in thinking about how they can contribute to privately protected areas.
Love it. Now, let's talk about the publicly promoted areas for nature. We have Parks Canada, Canada 150. We have free access if you were smart enough or quick enough to make the application for your free park pass. Are we going to look at this as a positive injection or infusion of nature love this year in the summer? Or are we looking at this as a bit of a danger zone?
The invitation of people to the public protected areas, you mean?
Yes. Well, not to the protected areas, but to just run around amok and celebrate the great outdoors. To me, I sort of see this. It's a beautiful thing, and I can't wait. I'm going to be, this week, I'm going into a national park, and I can't wait. It was free to get in, but of course you have booking fees, so you're dinged on that, so it's kind of clever.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're going to see a lot of people who aren't normally there because they can afford it just a little bit more this year. I think it's great, but it's also, you know, we're going to see some differences this year. What do you think?
Sure. Yeah. No, I think that well, anything we can do to help people connect with the outdoors and nature is a good thing. Mm-hmm. I think different people do that in different ways. You know, some people do that in their own backyard or in their cabin lot. Some people do it in national parks. Some people just do it in the park down the road from their house. And I think that the more we can get people thinking about how much they enjoy it and the benefits it has, both for their health as well as for the biodiversity and the planet, mm-hmm. I think that can only be a good thing.
Well said. Thank you very much for bringing this to our attention, and welcome home. So are you in Guelph now?
I am back in Guelph, yes.
Are you affiliated with the university in Guelph?
I went to the university for my degree, but now I just am luckily able to live here as a member of the community.
Lovely. My mentor when I studied international relations and environmental politics at Concordia University was a graduate of the political science program at Guelph, Ontario, in the Department of Poli-Sci over there. And I learned a lot from him, and he spoke fondly of the institution. It's on my list of places to visit, but that list is getting a little bigger, right? So you got to...
Yeah, a little bit. You know, but, you know, it is a great university, and it's a great community, and you should come and visit.
Thank you. I will put that in the tick box as another endorsement. Thank you, Lisa. And feel free to call anytime.
Thanks so much.
Good night to you. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Yeah. Peter Stewart is his name, and he's an amazing man, and I miss him dearly because he had a perspective that was quite interesting. Learned a lot about not only environmental politics, but international relations, human rights. He got me very interested and motivated in human rights studies, genocide studies. If it wasn't for him, I don't think I would be where I am in terms of my knowledge, my unfortunate amount of knowledge about genocides, because it's not a wonderful or pleasant thing to study, but it's certainly something that fascinates me, and I'm grateful to him. We all have inspirational teachers. We also have teachers that we can't stand, but anyway, he was one of the good ones. All right, we're going to finish the show with Mr. Bill Tizard, who we spoke with last night, and I heard him this morning on with Mr. Daryl Power on VOCM Nightline. Bill Tizard, bud, it's time for you to get a show.
Good evening, sir. How are you this evening?
I'm good. How are you?
Good again. Thank you very much to you and VOCM for taking my call.
Pleasure.
And let me promote this cause. It's been a very good day. The phone has been busy. People have been dropping by. So I think we're going to have a real good turnout tomorrow night.
Excellent.
So again, tomorrow night, somewhere around 7 to 7:30 to come and get a seat. Mm-hmm. Come and join us for a game of bingo. Have a few spins on the go, and whatever proceeds we get will be going to, like I said last night, the fire victims of Proud Avenue.
So the bingo fundraiser starts at 7, right?
So start around 7, yep.
6 p.m. is when the doors open?
6 p.m. the doors will be open, sir. They'll be open 5 o'clock.
Really?
Anybody wants to come, they'll be open at 12 o'clock tomorrow. Anybody wants to come and sit down.
You got a bar?
Oh, yes.
Might see you there.
You're always welcome. Jonathan, with that, I had a chance to visit the Proud Avenue Community Center today.
Yeah.
I met the people over there ahead of this. The community has come together, not just from around Proud Avenue, that area, from all over. It's overwhelming to be able to go there and see the enthusiasm, see that the stuff that's been brought in. It's overwhelming how the community is coming together here in this.
Amazing.
And to be a part of it makes me and all the folks at Legion very, very proud to be able to help in some little way.
How many members do we have at Legion Number 1 on Black Marsh?
Approximately 260.
Wow.
Yeah, that's fairly big.
That's a big population, sir.
Oh, it's a big population, yeah. And we have... everything is volunteer up there.
Yeah.
Except for the bartenders, non-cleaners, other than the management. But other than that, it's all done by volunteers.
Fantastic.
Fantastic. One of these days, you have to come up when we got a meal. Let me go and have a meal.
I'd love that. I did visit the Legion, I think it was 2 winters ago. There was a market there. I just went to have a look and see what was on the go.
The Farmer's Market.
Great spot, yeah.
That was the Farmer's Market. I'll tell you, if you're in town, I know I just heard you saying you're going out of town, but I was going to say, if you're in town on Saturday,
yeah,
be more than welcome to drop by after the service down on Dogwood Street and have a sandwich and a cup of tea.
Well, that'd be lovely. Maybe next weekend, but this weekend I'm off to Clarenville on Friday for the Canada 150 brews and barbecue event. And then I'm heading up to Eastport Way, camping in Malady Head. So I'm checked out.
You're taking a holiday.
Yeah. Well, it's an extended holiday, yeah. A long weekend kind of thing.
Everybody deserves a holiday.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
But anyway, Jonathan, in closing again, thank you very much. Really appreciate it. Don't forget, folks, bingo, anytime after 6 o'clock tomorrow at the Legion, Branch 1, Black Marsh Road. All the proceeds going to the fire victims, Shroud Avenue. Love to see you there.
Any phone number for the Legion, if anyone wants to give you a dial?
579-8281.
8281.
And throughout the day, there'll be a drop-off box there. Anybody want to drop off a monetary donation, feel free to, because every cent is collected tomorrow. Every cent will be going directly to the families who need it most.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for your time. And, Bill, I'm going to do my best to drop in on my way to work tomorrow night to put a little money in the kitty. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Jonathan. And when you get back from your holiday, I will certainly call you and give you an update because of the time you give me and the dedication you give me. And thank you again.
Listen, we're here for you. It's your show, not mine. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and have a good night.
Don't be a stranger, buddy. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
That's Bill Tizard of Legion Number 1 on Black Marsh Road. Great building, great bunch of people, 250-odd. That's Legionnaires. That is wonderful. We got a minute left. I have a couple of serious questions to ask for those who live in the Outer Battery. How do you plow the snow if you live in the Outer Battery? Myself and a fellow were having this conversation just yesterday. I'm curious, if you live all that way, do you park your car halfway through? I can't remember. So if anyone is listening from the Outer Battery, just give us a shout and keep us apprised of that situation. Okay? Okay. And I did ask earlier, do you get bumped to the top of the list for housing if you were one of these families who lost everything in the Froude Avenue fire? Where does your priority go, and what happens to those who are on the wait list? Someone called in, I think it was William, to say that, William, right? Yeah, William Martin, a longtime listener and frequent caller. Hi, William. To say that there are emergency houses for just this type of situation. I'd love to know how many of these houses there are. And no doubt those who are on a waiting list would probably be wondering, why aren't they available for people who are waiting, as opposed to those who just have emergencies. I don't know. These are maybe good questions. At least they're questions that are on my mind. We're going to do it all again tomorrow night, but you can listen to the rebroadcast of VOCM Open Line right after this with guest host Daryl Power. And, of course, you can hear him live tomorrow morning in the big chair straight at 8:30 Labrador time, 9 a.m. right here on the Avalon and all parts of Newfoundland. Have yourself a great night on behalf of myself and producer Patrick Myler, as we say in Hebrew, Lila Tov.